yesteryear.
Howdy, folks.
Yes, it is your old friend Singin' Sam. So let's just settle back and reminisce a bit. What do you say, huh?
With a nostalgic nod toward the Atwater Kent, we now present Same Time, Same Station, a chronicle of broadcasting's first half century.
Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear.
Tonight, Bing Crosby remembers radio. Chapter 1, The Early Years.
Where the blue of the night meets the gold of the day. Someone waits for me, and the gold of her hair crowns the bloom of her eyes like a halo tenderly. If only I could see her. The gold of the day. Someone waits for me.
During the next few weeks, many voices will help us recreate Bing Crosby's radio years. In addition to Bing himself, you'll hear Perry Botkin, guitarist and orchestra manager, Carol Carroll, Bing's longtime radio writer, Ken Carpenter, Bing's announcer, and John Scott Trotter, Bing's musical director. And now, return with us to those years when the blue of the night met the gold of the day on the radio.
If only I could see her. The gold of the day. Someone waits for me.
December 1920. The original Dixieland jazz band records Margie before the acoustic horn in Victor's New York studio.
I'd been a great record fan when I was a kid in Spokane, and I was in a little band up there, a five-piece band. We all played by ear, and we learned all our songs off the records. We had one of the kids, Al Rinker, who played piano. He could listen to a record of the Memphis Five or the Mound City Blue Blowers or the original Dixieland Band or Waring's Pennsylvanians or Jack Chapman and his Drake Hotel Orchestra or Gene Goldcat or any of those great old bands. He could listen to a record, and then he could sit down and he'd tell the clarinet player what to play and the cornet player what to play, and he'd play it for him on the piano, and the saxophone player what to play. And of course, I played drums. He didn't tell me anything, because I just played 2-4 or 4-4 or 3-4, whatever it required. And I was just a fanatic about records. We would wait around the record shop up in Spokane every week for a new shipment to come in from the East. Vic Myers, the Cotton Pickers, all those great bands. We knew all their great records by heart. So when I got a shot at the record business, that was really the only goal I had, to get on records somehow.
Thank you.
A career before the microphone begins. October 10th, 1926. Don Clark and his Los Angeles Biltmore Hotel Orchestra record for Columbia. The vocal refrain is supplied by Al Rinker and Harry Lillis Crosby.
I've got a girl, I've got a girl, for Wanaker, for Wanaker. She's got a smile, she's walked miles to see. Really, I had a heart and lost a heart. Just had to, just had to. She had a heart, she gave a heart to me. All those lips, all those eyes, oh, can't you see? She's just the kind of a girl you want your girl to be. I'm satisfied, so satisfied. Who wouldn't be, who couldn't be? I've got the girl, she's just the girl for me.
February 1928, Paul Whiteman records for Victor. The band includes Bix Beiderbecke, Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey, Frankie Trombauer, Eddie Lang and Joe Venuti, and the Rhythm Boys, Harry Barris, Al Rinker, and Bing Crosby.
Lordy, how they play it. Boy, they really sway it.
He did a thing called the Old Gold Hour, and we went on tour, the whole band, and it was the tour was sponsored by Old Gold, and he did broadcasts from different places. Did quite a few broadcasts from Los Angeles when the Whiteman Band was in Hollywood doing the King of Jazz, a picture at Universal Studios, and I think we did one a week or something like that with the band, using a lot of motion picture people, motion picture stars, particularly if they're involved in musicals or could sing or if they were comics. And the band, of course, we had the Rhythm Boys were in that band, and then we had a sextet. The other three fellas were Charlie Gaylord, Skin Young, and John Fulton. And sometimes we sang some songs, a sextet with three guys humming and the other guys singing the lyrics. I don't remember all that. Intricacies of the arrangements. A lot of times we were just humming while Skin Young sang a ballad or Johnny Fulton sang a ballad. Once in a while I sang a ballad.
When the sun goes down, the night goes out, sharks gather round and they all begin to shout. Hey, hey, Uncle Dunn is beat, beat, beat on the midwinter bus. What a dance do they do? Lordy, how I
Lordy, how they play it. Boy, they really sway it. Boy, that music thrills me. Say, it nearly kills me.
What a dance they do. Lordy, how I'm telling you.
Thank you.
Very rarely was I a soloist. I did, I think, some things called Muddy Waters and Old Man River and Old Miss Hannah and Louisiana. I can't remember. I Make Believe from Showboat. A few solos. I guess they were the first solos I ever did on record. As far as I can remember. Probably were. That was pre-1930.
Arnheim and his Coconut Grove Orchestra broadcast from the Ambassador Hotel, Los Angeles.
And then after I got with Arnheim, I did some more solos. And really, the solos that I did there with Arnheim, with the Arnheim, at the time of the Arnheim band, were the solos that got me started, like Wrap Your Troubles and Dreams and I Surrender and things like that.
And I may act gay, that's just a pose. I'm not that way, 'cause deep down in my heart I say, I surrender, dear. All those little mean things we were doing must have been part of the game, lending a spice to the wooing. Oh, but I don't care who's to blame. When stars appear and shadows fall, then you'll hear my poor heart call to you, my love, my life, my all. I surrender, dear.
Jimmy Gurr made a marvelous arrangement, and he used these two different changes of tempo, which was kind of a novelty for a dance band, particularly to make a record in that fashion. As I recall, we used to have remotes out of there every night, except Sunday, we were dark at Coconut Grove, for MJB Coffee, and I think the broadcast went covered the whole Pacific Coast. And then a couple nights a week, between dance sets, they had a broadcasting studio up in the mezzanine and back of the bandstand, and we'd go up there and do things at the piano, and it was a great chance for Barris to write some songs and get them exploited.
Popular song, anytime or anywhere at all. Rain or sunshine, spring or fall. Say you never know when it may say hello in a very unexpected place. For example, take my case.
June 1931. Bing Crosby is a recording star. The Brunswick Records flood the country, matching and surpassing Victor Sides by Russ Colombo and Rudy Vallee.
She was selling China, and when she made those eyes, I kept buying China until the clouds got white. Incidentally, if you should run into a shower, step inside my cottage door. And meet my million-dollar baby from the 5 and 10 cent store. Oh, please, lend your little ear to my phone.
my plea. Tell me that you love me too. Please let me hold you tight in my arms. I could find delight in your charms. Every night, my whole life through, your eyes reveal that you have the soul of an angel white as snow. How long must I play the role of a gloomy Romeo? Please say you're not intending to tease. Speed that happy ending and please tell me that you love me too.
Great thrill for me to be connected with the record business. Still is. I still get a kick out of a record session. Sinatra's told me the same thing. All the things that he's done through his life, he would rather go down and make a record than do anything he can think of. It gives him more satisfaction. You see the musicians you've worked with so many times, and you have all kinds of laughs, and there's coffee breaks, and they're ad-libbing things between takes.
I first met Bing Crosby.
Harry Bodkin.
In about 1927. He just left Paul Whiteman's band, and he was starting to record on his own for Brunswick. I met him in a strange way. I was the number one substitute for Eddie Lang, who was the first guitarist ever to play rhythm guitar. Prior to that, guitar had only been an instrument of Italian trios and things of this kind, but had not entered into it. And I was committed and convinced that that guitar was the coming thing. I frankly had no idea that it was going to reach the point that it has now. But in any event, I, as a substitute, I used to be, Eddie would book me for the, if the date started at 9 with Bing, I'd come in maybe at 10 o'clock and do the two sides. A record date is four sides usually, and I'd go in and do I'd come in, relieve Eddie for a couple hours while he went and did another date, and then he might return or might not return. So I got to be identified as Eddie Lang's sub, which was a pretty good thing, because Eddie was the number one man in the business, and I had learned to play guitar. There were only two or three of us around New York at that time who could play guitar. We were all banjo players. And to name a couple, Dick McDonough, Carl Kress, and of course Eddie, myself. And we were about the only ones available, so if they couldn't get the best, they took me. I was a rather tender age at the time.
We used to... I wonder what happened to all those old records back in New York. Manny Klein, the Dorsey Brothers, and Venuti, and Lang. They had great humor, and if after a record session finished, if they had a little time, they'd make up a gag record. And I have some of those somewhere, but I don't know. Some of them were a little filthy. We had a series they made for private use called The Manure Hour. The Manure is on the Air was the theme song, and it was supposed to be a program sponsored by Manure, and they'd play two or three selections. They recorded these things. Someone somewhere has probably got a collection of them, and they ought to be a riot if we could ever find them. And I know I must have some somewhere, but I don't know where. Manny Klein was beautiful. He could really think up some things to do, you know, some songs, parodies on popular songs about Manure, about whatever. If we'd do all kinds of things that weren't in very good taste. Big raspberries throughout. You know, Venuti could give the biggest raspberry in tune in captivity. He was famous. He could drown a whole band out with a raspberry with a tremolo, a vibrato. So record sessions were... They looked forward to him, you know.
Your eyes reveal that you have the soul of an angel white as snow. How long must I play the role of a
a gloomy Romeo. Please say you're not intending to tease. Speed that happy ending and please tell me that you love me too.
March 2nd, 1931. Gus Arnheim and his Coconut Grove Orchestra record in the Los Angeles studio of Victor Records.
What price happiness? What price happiness? Who can truthfully say? But for every share, with tears we pay. Love is happiness, I've had happiness. Ah, but it ended one day. Now I look at life a different way. When skies are cloudy and gray, they're only gray for a day. So wrap your troubles in dreams and dream your troubles away. Until that sunshine peeps through, there's only one thing to do. Wrap your troubles in dreams and dream your troubles away. Say, castles may tumble, that's fate after all. Life's really funny that way. No use to grumble, smile as they fall. Weren't you king for a day, say? Just remember that sunshine always follows the rain. And wrap your troubles in dreams. Dream your troubles away. When skies are cloudy and gray, they're only gray for a day. Whistle and dream your cares away. Until that sunshine keeps through, there's only one thing to do. Whistle and dream your cares away. Your castles may tumble, that's fate after all. Life's really funny that way. No use to grumble, smile as they fall. Weren't you king for a day, say? Just remember, sunshine always follows the rain. Whistle and dream your cares away.
Same song, same singer, another recording date.
Whistle and dream your cares away. Castles may tumble, that's fate after all. Life's really funny that way. Sang the wrong melody, we'll play it back. See what it sounds like, hey, hey. They cut out 8 bars, the dirty. And I didn't know which 8 bars he was gonna cut. Why don't somebody tell me these things around here? Oh, I'm going off my nut.
gonna keep him down on the farm after he's seen Paris? How you gonna keep him on Long Island, deep in that grass, flat on his... How you gonna keep him at Oyster Bay? That's a mystery. A fella used to worry lots when he went away, but penicillin cures it up in a day. Now he'll get a new one most every day after he's seen Paris.
Well, sir, little old shipwreck was just a little bitty old mountain boy from Bourbon County, Kentucky. No better, no worse than most. He's very clever on the gridiron, but under his sleeveless shirt by Depenna, there beat an honest heart and true. One year after his pappy sold the spring runoff, consisting of 50 barrels of Mountain Dew, old Shipwreck took his share of the proceeds and grabbed a bus to New York City. There he fell under the influence of Black Dan Toppin, sportsman and social figure. Well, under the questionable aegis of Mr. Toppin, our little old boy, he bloomed and he burgeoned into such a colorful character that he captured the eye and inevitably the heart of the Deb of the Year, Brenda Fraser. And after some years of wedded bliss, Brenda, in a moment of weakness, he took little old Shipwreck to France, where I must say he behaved tolerably well, till one day on the Champs-Élysées he faded back into the end zone for a fast pass and wound up with a demi-mondaine, that's a floozy, on each arm. Well, quicker than you could say Howell Van Gerbig, Brenda threw him into the second class on the Caronia and took him back to the lush green acres of old Meadowwood Farm. Now, friends, I seek to adduce no moral from this tale other than to indicate the old truism. You get a little old country boy, and even though you put him in loafers with tassels on him and cummerbunds and plaid dinner jackets, you put this little old country boy anywhere near a pair of 4.5-inch heels, topped with them black lace stockings, and he's going to high center just sure as hell.
A Frenchman selling postcards offering him rates, but Kelly sold him some he brought from the States. Now how you gonna keep him down on the farm after he's been there, blew many a fin there, and sometimes got in there for free? He'll want to go back to Paris. There's a famous thoroughfare I've heard collegiate say. I'm not referring to Piccadilly. It's not 42nd Street, it's not the Rue de la Paix, nor is it Market Street in Philly. Ask most any college, Romeo. To complete your education, you must go down the old ox road. Though you'll never find out where it is by looking in maps, with a little investigation, you'll discover perhaps that this old tradition's not a place, but just a proposition. All the old ox road, the old ox road. Ox road could be any romantic spot, a country highway or a moonlit yacht. It could be in the parlor when the lights are burning low. It could be in the movies in the very last row.
magic of the moonlight, you are filled with delight. While the leaves that flutter o'er you whisper, lover, tonight. Why keep waiting and debating when you know it's time for mating on the old Knox Road, on the old Knox Road.
March 27th, 1928. Eddie Lang and Joe Venuti record in the Brunswick, New York studio.
Eddie unfortunately died in 1933, March the 25th to be exact. That's how I remember, and what a shock it was to me. Kitty Lang, his wife, would take the job, yes, and she'd wind up taking maybe 12 jobs for the same hours. And the same situation existed with Tommy Dorsey, with Jimmy Dorsey, and to an extent with Benny Goodman, with whom I worked a great deal. But we were doing those 15-minute radio shows, 15-minute rehearsal, 15 minutes on the air. Everything was live in those days, and it was a pretty frantic life for all of us, one to the other, but it was also very lucrative, much more lucrative than going out on the road with with Tommy Dorsey or somebody.
Before the radio microphone continues. September 2nd, 1931. Bing Crosby's first network radio program is broadcast over CBS. NBC has Columbo. In Los Angeles, the city tunes to the CBS affiliate, a station whose call letters stand for kindness, health, and joy.
This is KHJ, the Don Lee Station, Los Angeles. When you hear the sound of the chime, it will be exactly 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time by the chronometer of the Leroy Diamond Company of 632 South Broadway, Los Angeles. Select your watch from the new models in Gruen, Hamilton, Bulova, Elgin, and Illinois watches now featured at Leroy's at advertised cash prices with no charge for credit and no down payment required. 7 p.m.
15 minutes with Bing Crosby. Introducing Bing Crosby. Here is the moment you have been waiting for. The delayed appearance of that sensational baritone, Bing Crosby, whose singing has made him the favorite of California, through the mediums of the motion pictures, the vaudeville stage,
and the radio. It was our announced intention to present Bing Crosby's initial program Monday night, but a severe attack of laryngitis made it impossible for him to appear until tonight. However, his voice has recovered sufficiently to allow him to bring to you now his inimitable song interpretation. So, offering Bing Crosby in the popular song of the day, Just One More Chance.
Just one more chance to prove it's you alone I care for. Each night I say a little prayer for just one more chance, just one more night to taste the kisses that enchant me. I'd want no others if you'd grant me just one more chance. I've learned the meaning of repentance. Now you're the jury at my trial. I know that I should serve my sentence. Still I'm hoping all the while you'll give me just one more word. I said that I was glad to start out, but now I'm back to cry my heart out for just one more chance. We spend our lives in groping for happiness. I found it once and tossed it aside. I've paid for it with hours of loneliness. I've nothing to hide. I'd bury my pride for.
Missed some of the shut-eye I should have been getting, and because I was working hard. I was playing the New York Paramount, doing five shows a day, and all that rehearsing and all that singing. The pipes just gave out, you know. I got quite alarmed. I had some nodes on the chords, vocal chords, what they call nodes, like a wart or a callus. And there were some throat men there in New York, took a look at them. Said rest would be the only cure, other than an operation, which was kind of delicate one and not dangerous, but if it wasn't done properly or if they had any mischance, why, I could wind up a soprano, you know. Well, they were all Eddie Blang, Venuti, and the Dorseys. They were with the Whiteman Band when I was with the Whiteman Band. And that's how I got to know Lang and Venuti. And, of course, they were big recording stars, their duets. And Eddie Lang, as well as Joe Venuti, were in great demand by anybody who recorded in those days. And by the networks, they were very valuable, particularly Lang, who had a style on the guitar that was... he was the pioneer of that style of guitar accompaniment. And when I came east from the Coconut Grove, they were both sort of in the house orchestra around CBS. The little sustaining orchestra that I had supporting me when I first went on the radio for CBS on a sustaining basis was composed, I believe, of Eddie Lang, Joe Venuti, Frankie Signorelli, Artie Shaw, Jerry Colonna, trombone. Oh, he was a good trombone player. He was in the house orchestra at CBS. Even then he was doing imitations between takes, you know, to amuse the band.
An excellent theme for Bing Crosby in his closing number tonight. I'm Through with Love.
Given you my true love, but you love a new love. What am I supposed to do now with you? Now you're through, you'll be on your merry way, and there's only this to say: I'm through with love. I'll never fall again. Said adieu to love, don't ever call again, for I must have you or no one. And so I'm through with love. I've locked my heart, I'll keep my feelings there. I have stocked my heart with icy frigid air, and I mean to care for no one. Because I'm through with love. Why did you leave me to think you could care? You didn't need me. You had your share of slaves around you to hound you and swear with deep emotion, devotion to you. Goodbye to spring and all it meant to me. I can never bring the thing it used to be, for I must have you or no one. And so I'm through with love. Devotion to you. Goodbye to spring and all it meant for me. It can never bring the thing it used to be. For I must have you or no one. And so I'm through.
And so we conclude our initial presentation of Bing Crosby as an exclusive Columbia artist. Mr. Crosby will sing for you each night at this time, except Sundays. So until this time tomorrow night, Bing Crosby wishes you a very good evening. Harry Von Zell speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
My name is Carol Carroll. In the early 30s, everybody who could carry a tune in a cast iron bucket claimed to be the daddy of crooning. A big-time vaude star, I knew him, by the name of Benny Fields, said he was the first singer to go boo-boo-boo-boo. That took care of Bing. He also claimed he was the first singer to use a megaphone. That took care of Rudy Valley. Then there was the much-publicized feud between Crosby and Columbo. Which came first, the Bing or the Russ? I helped fan that one in a weekly radio column I was writing for the New York Sunday World. It made good copy, just as the Ben Bernie-Walter Winchell feud and the Fred Allen-Jack Benny feud made good copy for later columnists. Everyone was hip to it that it was just puffery, but it was something to write about, and everybody got a free ride, including the public. Later, I actually engineered a small feud between Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra, who was then the new kid on the block. I was not only writing Bing's radio show at the time, I was also writing Frank's. It made it easy. Sinatra was always written as the brash newcomer demanding in. Bing was the benign elder statesman anxious to offer a helping hand to the upcoming talent. The first time Frank made a guest appearance with Bing, Frank's opening line was, "Bing, would you do me a big favor?" Bing said, "Certainly, what?" Frank said, "Retire." But none of those feuds were ever taken seriously by the personalities involved.
No, it was, network publicity. We were all friends. I was a great pal of Russ's. He was in the Parnam band, as you know. There was no battle. But they built it up, I guess. There was Valley and Columbo, myself, and Downey. Of course, he was a tenor, but he sang almost the same kind of songs we did. Somebody wrote a song about it, Crosby, Columbo, and Valley. I don't know what ever happened to the song. I might have used it on the radio a few times. I don't know.
Victor Young records the tune for the Brunswick label in 1931.
There's lots of public enemies, but I know only three. Crosby, Columbo, and Valley. They've made a million married women wish that they were free. Crosby, Columbo, and Valley. Those crooning vagabonds are stealing all our blondes. Now I know what has become of Sally. And every time you kiss your girl, who is she thinking of? Crosby, Columbo, and Valley. Who are the boys that fill our modern maidens with delight? Crosby, Columbo, and Valley. From coast to coast, you'll hear them singing love songs every night. Crosby, Columbo, and Valley. Mrs. So-and-so has her radio, always going full blast in our alley. And even though you turn your own set off, you're gonna hear Crosby, Columbo, and Valley.
I think the coming of the crooners was caused by a native uprising against John McCormick, Morton Downey, and a whole gaggle of Irish tenors. To me, baritones have more warmth. Their voices seem more natural. Tenors tend to use the voice as an instrument. Baritones come closer to humanities, for my dough. Then, too, in the course of living and loving, and maybe doing a little boozing, many a tenor has been reduced to a baritone and finally been put out running bass. In opera, the baritones are generally the heavies. Tenors are the dreamboats. But I don't really think their operatic villainy ever generated any real animosity against baritones.
If there was, I never heard of it or felt it, any of it. But you're right. I suppose the traditional baritone in the light opera was always the heavy, and the tenor was the hero. But I don't think that prevailed in radio. If it did, I didn't know about it.
I'm guilty of dreaming of you. What can I do? What can I say? After I've taken the blame, you say you're through. You go your way. But I'll always feel just the same. Maybe I'm right. I could be wrong. Loving you, dear, like I do. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty.
The career before the microphones continues. Cremo Cigars quickly assumes sponsorship of Bing Crosby's 15-minute CBS program.
Every road has its turning. That's something I know you're learning. I sigh for you. What a fool I used to be, but I've found two eyes just a little bit bluer, and I found a heart just a little bit truer. I cried for you. Now it's your turn to cry over me.
And so, good night. You have been listening to Bing Crosby, the Cremo singer, presented by the manufacturers of certified Cremo cigars. Thank you. Until Monday night at the same hour, thank you. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. WABC, New York.
Reminiscing, I feel you near. Once more, you're my love of yesteryear.
Be with us next week for another nostalgic look at radio of yesteryear.
And now it's just about time we were picking up our memories and moving along our way. I hope you've enjoyed listening to these songs and the memories that go with them, as much as I've enjoyed bringing them to you. And I'll be keeping my weather eyes peeled, yes, sir, looking for you all to join us the next time we drop around this way for a friendly little get-together. And I hope that'll be real soon, folks. And until then, this is your old friend Singin' Sam saying goodbye for now.
Same time, same station is produced for KRLA News and Public Affairs by John Price. Associate producer, Cam Curry. Special research by Martin Halpern. Your announcers have been John Rygren and Bill Brunt. Next week, the radio career of Bing Crosby continues with the Woodbury Hour and the Kraft Music Hall.
I know you won't want to miss it, so be sure to be with us next week at this same time, same station.